Now, November's election saw the Green Party almost wiped out. It lost all but one of its 12 seats, and its party leader, Roderick O'Gorman, was the only TD to hold on. Yesterday, he told his party conference in Dublin that the Greens had not gone away and that they would not go quietly into opposition. And Roderick O'Gorman joins us now in our studio as we continue our series of New Year party leader interviews. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Justin.
To quote your own words yesterday, you said that you told your former coalition partners that you were going to be, quote, a bollocks in opposition. That kind of language seems out of character for you. I think most people would agree. What did you mean by it?
Well, it was a conversation I had with a couple of former colleagues who will now be part of the new government. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think it does reflect the different position that I and the Green Party find ourselves in now. We were part of government for the last 4.5 years. We worked hard. We delivered on the key elements of the programme for government. But in the next Dáil, I'll be part of the opposition, and it'll be my role to hold the government to account, hold it to account for the new programme for government that we'll see in the next couple of weeks, but also in terms of the commitments and the laws that have been implemented over the last 4.5 years, whether it's the climate, the emissions reduction targets, commitments to invest in public transport. I want to see those delivered, and I'll be a very strong voice in the Dáil if those are being being resiled.
Does
from
mean that you're going to be destructive rather than constructive?
No, I don't think so, but it means I'll be a strong voice where I see the new government making mistakes, where I see them failing to implement commitments that are so important in terms of, you know, supporting commuters around the country, making sure those big public transport infrastructure projects are delivered, and in terms of the progress that was made during the Green Party's participation in government in reducing our carbon emissions.
Isn't the lesson from the near wipeout of the Greens that you simply got some things wrong, that some of your environmental and climate policies, like the carbon tax, for example, were things which added to people's fuel bills? They drove up the cost of living for people, especially for poorer people, and that those were just completely unpalatable policies for people who were struggling on the margins to pay their bills.
Well, Justin, over those 4.5 years, you and I spoke many times about the steps the Green Party were taking to save people money, whether it was my own work to halve the cost of childcare for families all over the country, Eamon Ryan's work to reduce public transport costs, provide grants to citizens all over the country so they can heat their homes more efficiently.
But did you learn anything from the defeat then? Did you learn anything from the near wipeout of the Greens?
Absolutely. And I think one of the key things we discussed at our convention yesterday, and it was fantastic to have 400 members of the party meeting yesterday, one of the key things we discussed was in our focus to deliver, in our focus to get the various elements of the programme for government implemented over those 4.5 years, we should have spent more time talking about the benefits of the laws, of the changes that we were bringing through.
And not,
we didn't
not
place
change any of
focus.
The policies, even though some of them were punishing to poorer people.
Well, I don't accept that. I've made the point that many of the policies that we implemented were absolutely focused on saving people money, not just once-off measures, but measures that save people money in the long term, like making childcare more affordable, like reducing public transport costs for absolutely everybody. Those are measures that will continue on after the Green Party have left government.
Hazel Chew, your colleague, said that the Green Party has a massive communication problem, that you haven't been able to bring people along with you as well as possible. Is that a view you subscribe to?
Well, I think speaking about what we are doing and how it is helping people is something we did fall down in over the last 4.5 years. And I think that's a key learning that we'll bring into the next Dáil and into the future.
You expressed a fear yesterday that the next government, which is likely to be one involving Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and a range of independent TDs, that it will be one that will be scared to tackle the difficult issues, you said, which would be focused on a patchwork of local deals rather than on the national interest. I mean, some might suggest that that is a sort of urban Green Party snobbery. I mean, why shouldn't independent TDs who got elected in their own right fight for their constituencies and do those local deals if it means providing stability for the government?
Well, every one of us as constituency TDs fights for our own communities, but a programme for government has to be for the whole country. It can't just be for one county. And I have a real concern that we're going to see this patchwork of deals rather than a programme for government that tackles the big issues. And we've already discussed, you've already discussed a big issue that the next government will face, the Occupied Territories Bill. There was broad agreement, including from the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, just before the general election, that a bill that targets goods and services manufactured in the Occupied Territories should be passed. But now we're starting to see, you know, key government spokespeople, people like Regina Doherty, sound a very different note. Okay, so I think that legislation will be a big test of the new government's ability to take difficult decisions.
Well, should those points not be taken on board? You heard Dan Mulhall there, somebody with a lot of experience dealing with US administrations, particularly with the last Trump administration. Should the legislation, the Occupied Territories Bill, still be passed, even if it does damage Ireland's strategic interests or our political relationship with the United States?
Well, let's not forget, it's been a long-standing policy of Ireland to support the idea of a two-state solution in the Middle East in order to achieve peace. And the continued expansion of settlements in the West Bank, that is fundamentally about undermining the possibility of a Palestinian state ever existing. There is strong public support for the Occupied Territories Bill. We saw that it came up door after door in the general election. And we know there's strong legal support now from the recent decision of the International Court of Justice in July of last year. So considering both the ongoing humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, but also that longer term need to secure peace and secure a viable Palestinian state, it is important that Ireland takes that step to target those goods and services that are coming from the occupied territories.
All right. A final question. A new government will be formed soon, possibly in the coming week. Negotiations on behalf of independence are being led by Michael Lowry, who was found by the Moriarty Tribunal to have been of significant value and assistance in helping Dennis O'Brien secure Ireland's second mobile phone licence. And the report described Mr. Lowry's role as disgraceful and insidious. Is it appropriate for Simon Harris and Micheál Martin to be doing a deal with Michael Lowry?
Well, my understanding is there's a file been referred to the DPP in recent days in terms of the conclusions of the Moriarty Tribunal. And I think if charges are stemming from that, I think that would be politically disqualifying for Michael Lowry to be part of
the next
government arrangement. What about
at the moment? What about in the current circumstances? Is it appropriate for a deal to be
I think we tend to place a lot of focus on individuals in these negotiations. My concern is the policies that are going to be implemented. If Michael Lowry said tomorrow he was stepping away from these talks, I would still have a real concern about the types of policies that, be it the regional group, be it the Healy-Ray group, are going to implement in the next government. The undermining of climate commitments, the movement of financial support away from those big public transport projects to support local deals. That's what my key concern is.
And I hear you're reluctant to criticise Michael Lowry. And is that because the Green Party was part of a government which was supported by Michael Lowry in the past?
No, I've had plenty of critical engagements with Michael Lowry and indeed other independents over the last 4.5 years. But I think my worry is we're focused on one individual when we should actually be focused on the type of policies that are going to be implemented by this next government.
All right. Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party, thank you very much for speaking with us today. We're back with more after this break.